Well, let's turn our attention to Kashmir, where thousands have continued to defy curfew orders in the Indian administered area on Tuesday, holding protests that have left at least five Kashmiris dead at the hands of Indian security forces. Let's get you the details of the latest casualties and the situation on the ground.
Three people, including a nine-year-old boy, were reported shot dead by Indian security forces in Srinagar and its outskirts. Another was killed from police fire in Kulgam area, about 67 kilometers south of Srinagar. The Indian government decided to deploy 2,000 more troopers to quell the spiraling unrest, in which 27 people have been killed since Friday. That's a major escalation in deadly violence in recent days. Those killed in the last 4 days is over 65% of the 41 killed since the latest violence began on June the 11th. The death of a 17-year-old student killed by a police tear gas shell set off the series of almost daily protests. Strict curfew restrictions with shoot-at-sight orders are enforced in certain areas. Businesses and schools are closed, and soldiers are manning the national highway that links Srinagar with the rest of the country. India and Pakistan each hold part of Kashmir, but claim it in full. Kashmiris in the Indian-controlled areas complain of discrimination and want independence from New Delhi. Fighting and violence in the area has been common for decades.
Well, to discuss the latest deadly violence, we're joined by from the World Kashmir Freedom Movement, Muzamil Ayub Thakur in London, and also Professor of the Jawaharlal Nehru University, Amitabh Matto, on the phone from New Delhi. I'd like to thank you both for being with us, sir. And let me start with you, Mr. Thakur. The protests and the violent crackdown seem to have suddenly escalated in recent days. As was mentioned in that report, 27 of the at least 41 deaths have occurred since Friday. Is the situation now spiralling out of control?
Absolutely. The only answer is yes. Beyond that, the only thing that I can say is the same thing that people of Kashmir are currently saying, which is go India, go, quit Kashmir. Beyond that, there is nothing left to say. You cannot kill students and young people. It doesn't matter what age they have. It doesn't matter where they are from. It doesn't matter who they are, whether they are male or female. They are mercilessly killing our youth and our people of Kashmir. Indiscriminately.
Let me just come in here and
give us a reason.
Let me ask Professor Matto. And the central government has flown in an extra 1,500 troops to the region after the region's chief minister, Omar Abdullah, asked for further assistance in that meeting he had with the Prime Minister of India, Manmohan Singh. That happened on Monday. But even pro-Indian politicians, like the head of the People's Democratic Party, have denounced the decision to summon extra troops. They say that's not the right way to go. In your opinion, is it the right move? Should more troops be sent to the area right now or not? Or is it just fueling the unrest?
You know, I think Omar Abdullah and the government is really in the horns of a dilemma. On the one hand, you want to show that these protests are contained, and yet you do not want to provoke of further anger. Initially, the decision by Omar Abdullah and the government to call in the Indian Army was a way to ensure that there is enough of a deterrent that people respect the curfew. You know, we'll also have to recognize...
Why should people respect the curfew?
Ago. Beg your pardon?
Why is there a curfew even enforced in the first place?
No, I mean, obviously, there is a view. Let's remember also that a year and a half ago, Omar Abdullah was elected by over 60% of the population, and outside Srinagar, there were a
And 2 years ago, the security forces killed Sheikh Abdulaziz.
Let Professor Matto
make
his point.
You know, I don't want to get into a provocative, polemical discussion. All I'm stating is the fact that Omar Abdullah was elected a year and a half ago, with a significant number of people from the valley also coming out to vote. And since then, it's clear that there is a degree of disillusionment, a degree of angst, a degree of alienation that has seeped in. and you have a problem, you have a serious situation on the ground. So I wouldn't try and simplify it in terms of slogans as my colleague seems to be doing, because I think it's a very complex situation.
But how else, Professor Mattu, how else can the Indian forces right now control the situation? Is there another option right now?
Yes, leave the valley.
I think the option is obviously to reach out to these young people who are angry on the streets in the valley of Kashmir. I think it's important to try and find out the reason for their anger. These are children and kids and teenagers who have grown up during these years of conflict, having seen just violence, often harassment, having no sense of hope for the future. I think it's important to engage them, give them a sense of hope for their future. I think it's important to do all that, even while you try and ensure that there are no other killings. I think no innocent Kashmiri, irrespective of caste, creed, religion, should be killed.
Mr. Thakur, I mean, you jumped in there and said, get out of the valley. I mean, India, as it stands right now, is not going to do that. So will extending a hand right now and talking to those people on the ground that are protesting, any, some form of negotiation or anything in that form of discussion, will it ease the situation at all, or are we past that point now?
We are very, very, very past that point. Unfortunately, the situation right now is that people's anger is not just towards the paramilitary forces. It was also towards the Indian state itself, the government. They have mercilessly been killing. I mean, just a couple of days ago, a seven-year-old was shot dead. He was beaten. He was not shot dead. He was beaten mercilessly, and then he was killed. In Brain, in Nishad, a gentleman has been tied up, not even a gentleman, a young boy has been tied to a pole, and the entire region has been threatened that anyone that tries to untie him is going to be shot dead, and he will only stay here as long as we wish. You cannot do anything about it. Now, this is simple ruthlessness towards the Kashmiris. What kind of negotiation can India or even the puppet regime of Umar Abdullah do towards the Kashmiris? The Kashmiris are fighting not just for independence, they are fighting for human rights. Mass graves have been seen in Kashmir. People have been killed. People are being thrown with security measures against them. For example, the PSA, the Public Safety Act. People are being jailed. 1,400 youths are currently in jail for nothing, for no reason, simply because they hold a stone. It is bullets for stones at the moment.
I do not understand, nor
does anyone else in the world understand.
Professor Mattu, I mean, one thing that Kashmiris in that area have been asking for many, many years is a referendum on who should govern the area, whether they should be independent or not. And there's been a continuous opposition from the Indian side to this. Is the violence that we're seeing now any different to the other spurts of violence that we've seen in the last few decades? Do you think now India is really facing a situation where they might have to concede to some of the demands of the Kashmiri side?
I think, you know, anyone who follows the politics of the subcontinent will recognize that the problems of Jammu and Kashmir are very complex. If we're talking about Jammu and Kashmir, we're not just talking about the Valley of Kashmir, we're talking about Jammu, which has a Hindu majority, Ladakh, which has a Buddhist majority, and also a part of which is with Pakistan. So it's not that it's a homogeneous ethnic entity. And secondly, you know, you have to be living in a cloud cuckoo land if you believe that India will allow a referendum in Kashmir. This is real politics. India will not agree to that. Also, because the situation is so complex and because they believe that they have a completely clear legal case on Kashmir. What you had during
they have
the
no
last
legal
few
case
years,
on Kashmir. They have broken every single UN resolution in the
and
world.
And President Musharraf had arrived at a certain understanding that without actually changing borders, you should be able to provide greater political space on both sides of the line of control to both Indian Kashmir and Pakistani Kashmir. You should provide them a greater autonomy. You should have institutions on both sides of the line of control. And that, unfortunately, that understanding collapsed when Musharraf had to leave Pakistan. But given the turmoil that Pakistan is in today, it's not possible to revive that understanding easily. I think that provides the best hope for the future, Frank.
Mr. Thakur, it is a complex situation. Whatever your opinion might be, Professor Mattu, they're picking up on some important points. the issue of Pakistan in this as well, and how regional politics is playing a part, and that really India is not likely to suddenly turn around tomorrow and call for a referendum, neither is it most likely to turn around tomorrow and leave the area. So how do you now see this conflict then progressing as it goes forward?
This is a bilateral, this is not a bilateral issue, it's a tripartite issue. Pakistan are one party to this, India are another party. The majority party are Kashmiris. You must understand that the Kashmiris are the major players in this situation. India should have a voice, Pakistan should have a voice, but Kashmiris must have the final decision. If they want independence, the same way that India received its independence from the British Raj, why should we not be able to do that? East Timor have got their independence, Palestine are fighting for their independence. Not only that, India have broken every single UN resolution that they, even when they considered that this is an issue, and they took it to the UN, the UN passed a resolution, and these people have continued to fail to enforce the UN resolutions. When you mention that the fact that they will not leave Kashmir, that is exactly what the British Raj were thought of, that they would never leave Kashmir, we cannot do anything without India, they need a part of India, and they need it to be part of the British Raj. But fortunately or unfortunately, they left. And Kashmir is the same situation. This is, of course, it is a very sensitive issue. Of course, this is a political issue. Of course, there are many other factors inside it. But for the first part, Pakistan is a non-entity at the moment. This is a completely indigenous movement. People are using stones against bullets. You must understand this. Regardless of everything, all the complicatedness and all the messiness of Kashmiri politics, you must address the core issue, which is human rights. You must address the core issue, which is paramilitary forces, an excess of paramilitary forces in Kashmir, an excess of force being used in Kashmir, draconian laws being used in Kashmir. This is nonsense to say that this is a Pakistan dispute, an India dispute, Pakistan having their house in order. At least communicate with the Kashmiri leadership. There's Sayyid Ali Shah Gilani, there's Mirwais Umar Farooq, there's Yasin Malik, there's Shabir Shah. I mean, there are a countless number of names. And you cannot possibly tell me that this issue cannot be resolved and India will not let Kashmir go. If India refused to let Kashmir go, we will force ourselves.
I'm going to have to stop you there.
Remove ourselves from Kashmir, from India.
Of course, there's so many topics to discuss, and we're keeping a close eye on developments in the Indian-administered Kashmir. But for now, I'd like to thank our guests from the World Kashmir Freedom Movement, Muzamil Ayub Thakur in London. And also many thanks to our guest on the phone, Professor Jawaharlal Mehru from the Jawaharlal Mehru University, Amitabh Matto on the phone from New Delhi. That's a wrap for this news analysis. Do stay tuned. Your international headlines are coming your way.